Also, dialect a person's hip.
I don't understand why you would call somebody's hip a huck, but I got a huck replacement.
I was just going to say that.
I got huck dysplasia. Are you okay, buddy?
Oh, okay. Oh, that was good. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Parks and Rewatch. I'm your host, Joe.
And I'm Joy.
And joining us today for this very special episode is a whole crowd of people on our Zoom call. We've been advertising this. We've been building up to this. And this is a very special episode. Let me just give you a quick rundown on how it's going to work. Essentially, what everyone who listens to this episode is going to be hearing is what our patrons hear. You are essentially getting the full uncut episode. Everyone's getting that. I just hit my mic. Oh my goodness.
Come on now.
We're falling apart real fast here. So everyone is going to get to hear the full length uncut episode. And we opened up our Zoom call, our recording, to anyone who wanted to join us, not just patrons. So we have a lot of awesome people here. It's going to get rowdy. Joy, do you have anything you want to add to that?
I don't.
All right. Then let's talk about what happens in this episode, because this is the premiere of season 4 of Parks and Recreation that we are diving into. In today's episode, Leslie faces the looming crossroads of maintaining her relationship with Ben or pursuing political office. Ron flees the imminent threat of Tammy 1. And Anne becomes the eye of a very unfortunate medical adjacent hurricane.
That's a nice way to put it.
Mm-hmm. About as nice as I could come up with.
Good job. Proud of you. All right. We did have some episode behind the scenes trivia. IMDb was great. They said Leslie Note meets with her campaign consultants in a conference room in Pawnee City Hall. Using government offices for campaign / political activity is illegal in Indiana and would be a true scandal for Nope's campaign if word got out.
Oh, and they're making such a big deal about avoiding scandal.
I know. It's bizarre. But here we are. Whatever. Wikipedia said that the episode also continues the story of Tom and John Ralphio's company, Entertainment 720, whose headquarters are located in a fully white office decorated with oddly shaped furniture. That's also a nice way to put it. Schur had previously likened the office to a hallucinogenic nightmare and called it, quote, maybe the craziest thing that has ever been on our series. I agree with you, Michael Schur. I agree.
That is fascinating. Now that I think about that, it does have kind of a very Stanley Kubrick energy going on.
Yeah. Yeah. Just the name Stanley Kubrick makes me want to go crawl in a ball. Hide. bad memories from college and film classes.
Oh, my. Okay. Sourdough, Cessnas, Legos. We back on track?
Oh, we're good. I'm centered. I'm here. Okay. It's fine. All right. We're fine. All right. We're fine. Centered. Everything's fine.
We're good.
Okay, parksandrecreation.fandom.com said that Ron's hair has grown out completely and he's grown a full beard in the less than a week or so that he's been hiding in his cabin.
Yeah, definitely some timeline issues here.
Yeah, it's one of those where it's like, hold up, what time are you expecting me to believe? Because I feel sketchy.
Yeah, I might have put it in my notes somewhere. I think they made mention of it's been 3 weeks because
it was
April,
3 weeks since Tom left.
Yeah, which...
But that doesn't equate Ron leaving.
Yeah, but I don't know. I think it's about the same because it shows in a B-roll that he hands in his resignation to Ron the same night that Tammy 1 shows up, sort of the after party. So roughly 3 weeks, which is still... I mean, I think I'm just chalking this up to sort of the legend of Ron Swanson. That he has, and Mariah said it in the chat, Swanson hair has different growth rate than the average man. I'm totally willing to accept that.
I think his whiskey consumption is also part of that.
Yeah, yeah, 100%. Like, maybe you hit a certain level. I mean, we know from a future episode that he consumes one shelf of alcohol per week. So who knows? Maybe you get to a certain point of alcohol consumption that it boosts your whatever your carrageen. I'm not saying that right. Whatever it is. The hair stuff. Thing. The hair and nails thing.
Keratin?
Keratin! There it is.
Cool. So apparently Tammy One is the first and only person to call Ron by the full length of his name, Ronald.
Ooh, that seems very fitting to me.
Oh, Francis, you're totally right. It's collagen. Yeah. Thanks for keeping us honest. Andy starts polishing Tom's shoes, but they're made of fabric. So the good news is he didn't actually put any polish on it. He was just brushing them, which still feels really awkward.
Yeah.
But, you know, whatever. Here we are.
Yeah. It might be, this might be very non-pastel sweater of me, but my fabric shoes typically just get the washer dryer treatment.
Well, I just try not to get that dirty, I guess.
That's tough with me.
It's fine. We're fine. Everything's fine. Okay. Time for some deep dives. I'm done categorizing them as like very specific things. I'm just categorizing them as dives because
we make the rules here.
Yeah. I can do what I want. I'm an adult. That's what they say. At least I still don't believe it yet, but it's fine. So all the things that pique my interest, I'm putting in a dive category. So let's talk about Geraldine Ferraro for a moment. She's actually a really legit human. She was an American politician, diplomat, and attorney. She served in the U.S. House of Representatives from 79 to 85 and was the first woman vice presidential nominee, which I thought was super cool. She ran for the Democratic Party in 1984. And she was also a journalist, an author, and a businesswoman. She notably served as the ambassador to the United Nations Commission on Human Rights from 93 to 96, which I thought was super legit. She also was the assistant district attorney for Queens, New York for a while, which I'm like, okay, I totally get why Leslie would make her own action figure of Geraldine Ferraro.
Yeah.
So there's that.
Wow.
Yeah. Next big dive is the Geographic Information Systems Cooperative. I don't know if you notice, but the plaque on the door outside of where Leslie was meeting with the campaign scouts. I don't know.
People.
Whatever you call them.
The scouts folk. Works for me.
Yeah. Scouts. Wait, no, it's two fingers. Is it three fingers?
I think it's three fingers if it's the Hunger Games.
Well, good luck, everybody. So may the odds
Here's
be ever
the
in your
real
favor.
Reason why we invited you to this Zoom call today.
Something like that. So Geographic Information Systems Cooperative is a computer system that analyzes and displays geographically referenced information, which I thought was interesting. I half looked it up expecting it to not be a real thing. But it measures all kinds of things. So Algonquin College in Ottawa, Canada, has a one-year Geographic Information Systems graduate certificate program. So many words. That provides
I'm so
you with,
proud of you for making it through that. I was on pins and needles.
Oh, my gosh.
It was close.
It's like
but you
trying
did it.
Trying to run down a hill and be like, I'm tripping. Oh, no. I'll fall eventually. AKA,
That's
maybe
exactly
I just did fall.
That's exactly the level of tension I had while listening to you read that.
Anyway, so that program with all the words provides you with knowledge and skills relating to geographic and cartographic. I don't know. It's cartography, but it's
cartographic. Oh, like man, you were doing so good.
Yes, Olivia, it's just like the get on your feet scene. That's literally my favorite episode. I'm just going to try to get back up on my feet. I'm going to get up and I'm going to make it happen.
He's peeing. The dog is now peeing.
Yes, absolutely. Yes. Anyway, you can get a certificate and I'm going to get through this segment. I promise. In this program, you use both hands-on and theoretical approaches to explore topics such as field data collection, programming, remote sensing, enterprise geodatabase design and management. That sounds cool. Cloud-based services, application development, 2D and 3D cartographic design, spatial analysis, and project management. So it's pretty cool. It's just keeping track of everything.
I think I have just information saturation. I'm not even sure what we're talking about anymore. I thought this thing was a satellite for a second.
No, it's part of keeping track of where things have been found. So an example was...
Okay, I'm back now.
Like, where is a fire hydrant? They keep track of that on the Geographic Information Systems Cooperative. So it's all this information about where things are located.
Wow.
Yeah.
Anyway. Wow. Leah says, a vote for you guys is a slam dunk. Leah, boom. I'm not so sure that feels optimistic at this point.
Whoa. It depends on how you define slam dunk.
That's true. Maybe
and if we set the bar low, we're doing great.
Maybe like a slam dunk like the one that Pistol Pete does at the ice rink.
Just without a concussion. Please and thank you. So the example that I found online for what is a Geographic Information Systems Cooperative said that if, for example, a rare plant is observed in three different places, GIS analysis might show that those plants are all on north-facing slopes that are above an elevation of 1,000 feet and they get more than 10 inches of rain per year. So it helps you see where things are and trends and whatever.
Okay, so Francis says, Joy brings a little bit of a homeschool mom energy in these moments, in the best way, of course. That may explain why you zoned out for a sec, Joe. And what I really have to say there is, can we go to Spaghetti Factory after this?
Sure, honey.
Like all of us as a group collectively, maybe we can use this fancy computer to locate a spaghetti factory somewhere in a central location and then just converge on it.
Seems plausible. I mean, YOLO. Why not? Okay, next time.
Olivia B says, wait, Spaghetti Factory? So I feel like I should just give this a nutshell real quick. Joy and I are both homeschoolers.
Hello.
And we discovered early on, we didn't actually know we were both homeschooled when we joined forces to make this podcast.
Three?
Yeah, I think it was. It was one of those early episodes, but we didn't actually know that going into it, which is just incredible. But we both figured out that sort of there's this median of the homeschooler experience, which is getting to go to Spaghetti Factory to eat. So the median is getting to go to Spaghetti Factory to eat after homeschool field trips, and so
obviously
that sort of gave birth to this maybe conspiracy theory that maybe Spaghetti Factory is actually a place that exists kind of in the collective imagination of homeschoolers. Like maybe this is some sort of shared delusion. But it is a place that exists in the real world. It's a restaurant. And Rachel in the chat says, I used to be a waitress at the local Spaghetti Factory and was homeschooled. I have so many questions.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, wow. Okay, so yeah, that covers Spaghetti Factory and why we always reference it. It's just like when this podcast eventually ends, we're all just going to meet at the great Spaghetti Factory in the sky.
In the sweet by and by. See y'all at Spaghetti Factory at the other side.
Yep.
Cool. I love Mariah's very deep philosophical question of if I've never been to a Spaghetti Factory, have I actually been homeschooled?
Oh, man, I don't know. That's tough. Yeah, it might be one of those things where you are still granted your diploma. Diploma.
Yeah, because it's all in quotes anyway.
Yeah. It might be yours on a provisional basis.
Oh, man.
Provided you get to a Spaghetti Factory sometime soon to remedy that lost experience.
Andy, Cheddarfield, Missouri has one, and it's halfway between Joe and Joy. Oh, wait, man. Do you have my address, Andy? This is creepy. Why does everything come back to my address? I don't feel comfortable. Whatever. Oh, Mariah, you live in Branson. That's fun.
Oh, man. Cool, cool.
All right, so moving on. My next dive is Sarah Lawrence College.
Naturally. Because
that's where Sewage Joe said he went, which, yes. I just feel so awkward inside. So Sarah Lawrence College is a private liberal arts college in Yonkers, New York. The college models its approach to education after the Oxford-Cambridge system of one-on-one student-faculty tutorials. I was trying to figure out how deep to go into this, and so I just took a left turn and then did like a little... And I was like, I'm done. So their mascot is a griffin, which I thought was cool. G-R-Y-P-H-O-N.
Wow.
So it's like a hippogriff. So wow. I definitely approve of that. And they're NCAA Division III. They're a part of the U.S. Rowing and Intercollegiate Horse Show Associations. And that's also legit. And I have no clue why Sewage Joe would go there. So there's that. When Andy said he was going to huck this at the wall, like, I know what he meant by context, but I realized I didn't actually know, like, is huck a real word?
And so, whether it's real or not, I used it growing up all the time.
Well, we got to question everything because we don't even know if Spaghetti Factory is real, but...
I have a question.
Yes, Joe. Am I homeschool mom again? Is that what's going on here?
I don't know. My question is, can I read the definition of huck that you have here in my redneck voice?
Oh, absolutely. I would appreciate that highly.
That feels fitting. The verb huck is defined as verb, transitive, informal, to throw or chuck.
Chuck.
Transitive, ultimate frisbee, to throw a long way.
Huck the frisbee to the other end.
Mountain biking, to gain extra height from a jump by compressing the springs just before takeoff.
These are things you would not have known unless you listened to our podcast.
Also mountain biking, to make a maneuver in a clumsy way.
So also, you hucked yourself into a fall?
I know there is a phrase out there popularized by the Instagram account Jerry of the Day that is huck and pray. And that is basically like, you probably didn't do this right, but just huck and pray, like give it everything you got and pray it works out.
That's valid.
So that reminds me of that.
That's funny.
Also, transitive whitewater kayaking. Ben said huck, pray, love. I
can't. Huck, pray, love. Maybe that can be the a song on the HJ Either Way album.
Yes, HJ Either Way, Visions of Glory.
Huck, pray, love, everybody.
Wow. Wow.
I don't know what that means, but
I love
okay,
it.
Okay, you have to
so
read this next
much.
Definition.
Okay. Transitive whitewater kayaking, to paddle off of a waterfall or to boof a big drop.
They use the word boof. B-O-O-F. I've never heard the word boof. It's like derp, I guess. But
I have, but in my own town growing up, it meant something very different.
Well, maybe we should move on now.
Okay. moving on. To throw oneself off a large jump or drop. To throw one's body in the air, possibly in a way that is ungraceful or lacks skill.
Ah.
And a dated definition is to haggle in trading.
Huh.
As a noun, huck is ultimate frisbee, a long throw, generally at least half a field in length. sub-definition, the only kind of throw I knew how to make playing Ultimate Frisbee.
The chat is killing me.
Carpe boop.
Mariah, can you unmute for a minute and pronounce what you just wrote?
Yes, I said c'est la bouffe.
C'est la bouffe, everyone. C'est la bouffe. Oh my god, what are we doing?
Oh my goodness.
Carpe bouffe.
I'm making a prophecy right now. That one's gonna come back before the end of the episode. Whoo! Where were we? Ultimate Frisbee. Okay. Skiing or snowboarding, a drop or jump off a cliff or cornice. Also, dialect a person's hip.
I don't understand why you would call somebody's hip a huck, but. I got a huck replacement.
I was just going to say that.
I got huck dysplasia. Are you okay, buddy?
Oh, okay. Are you dying? Oh, that was good. Oh, wow.
Anyway, I put that section in there just because I had never heard huck before, so... Now
Huck's
we know.
Dysplasia. Oh my goodness.
Julia just said in the chat, she said that instead of kaboom in season two, it should be kaboof.
Oh man. Oh man.
Kaboof, everyone. All right. I'm going to do my best to move on. My face hurts. All right. Let's talk about Bethany Frankel real quick because Tom talked about Bethany Frankel. She was born on November 4th, 1970. She was an American reality television personality, entrepreneur, and author. She rose to prominence as a contestant on The Apprentice, Martha Stewart. I didn't know there was a Martha Stewart version of The Apprentice, but there you go. She was the runner-up on that in 2005, and she later became a main cast member in the Bravo reality TV series, The Real Housewives of New York City. Yes, her name, thank you, Olivia, for correcting my pronunciation. Her name is Bouffany Frankel.
Henceforth, mm-hmm. Bouffany Frankel.
Oh, and we got an eye roll from Francis. Winning.
That's a solid metric.
Okay. Outside of her work in reality television, Bouffany Frankel is the founder of the Skinny Girl lifestyle brand and
what?
Be Strong, a disaster relief foundation. And she's also the author of 4 self-help books. I looked into the Skinny Girl stuff and no.
Okay.
I'm just going to say a hard no. Don't do it. Just not worth it, everybody. Not worth it. Love you the way you are. That is all I have to say.
Oh, man. Wow.
My next dive is about eclairs. Let's just talk real quick about cream-filled donuts. I love cream-filled donuts, like either straight vanilla custard or whipped cream-filled donuts. Mm-hmm. I don't like jelly-filled donuts. Opinion,
how do you
please.
Feel about Bavarian cream?
That's okay. It's okay.
Okay.
I feel very disappointed when I bite into a donut and there's jelly in there.
Yeah, I feel you there. Not crazy about jelly-filled donuts. Have you ever had a marshmallow fluff-filled donut?
No, but I think I would die and go to heaven because I love marshmallow fluff with my entire being.
Oh, man, we got to remedy that then. Yeah, they are quite good.
All right, so maybe after our big meeting at Spaghetti Factory, we yeah. can go find a bonfire somewhere and we can do marshmallow floof donuts.
Yes,
and then we can
absolutely.
Boof them.
Okay. Wow.
Yep. Anyway, so the word éclair comes from French éclair, which I'm probably saying it absolutely wrong, meaning flash of lightning, so named because it is eaten quickly or in a flash. In America, they're also known as long johns, but they aren't the exact same as éclairs. The dough is different.
Huh.
So all that to say, what's your favorite donut?
I think we talked about this in... maybe two episodes ago.
I don't remember. We're not surprised.
Because we talked about powdered sugar donuts. We talked about how horrible those are. Yeah, they're the worst. And first of all, I just have to say I'm very disappointed in everyone who voted in our Instagram poll that they were not the worst donut. And then tried to at me in our DMs about why they're not the worst donut, because they absolutely are.
And it's getting personal.
My favorite kind of donuts in the specific variety is, and they're very hard to find and somewhat seasonal, is the apple cider donuts. Yeah,
totally.
General favorite donut is a cruller. We talked about that because they kind of look like tractors. Wow. Tractor tires. And that kind of connected with both of us. But yeah, I get down with eclairs or long johns as well. Just, I'm with you, no jelly.
I had the most amazing cream puff ever in my life in Colorado. It was like this big. And I almost just said they sawed it in half. No, they didn't saw it in half. They cut it in half. And then there was like this mound of fresh whipped cream in there. And
wow.
It took me forever to eat, but I was so happy the entire time. Like, don't even try to talk to me right now. I'm really busy enjoying all of the sensations of this cream puff.
Wow.
Yeah. So.
Wow. Isaac in the chat said he's always called them tractor tire donuts, which makes me feel very validated.
Proud of you too. Good job. We have a connection. I'm just feeling the connection.
there's a vibe in here, and it's a good one.
It's a vibe, Bernice. Anyway, chopping wood. So Leslie's chopping wood in one of the sequences, and somewhere in the back of my mind, I was like, hold on, I think I read something somewhere at some time that chopping wood can be therapeutic. So of course, I had to look it up. So chopping wood can be synchronistically meditative. Why do I put these big words in here for myself to read? This is, I kill myself every time.
Yeah, this feels a little masochistic.
Ugh. I'll work on it, but I probably actually won't. It's mindfully emptying. It makes you present in the here and now with its flow-like quality that demands attention and focus. It's unique in the activities we do as it combines these triad of qualities simply and effectively. So, and somebody on Quora said, chopping wood is therapeutic as long as you do it with real, sincere joy.
I don't know if we can trust the opinion of this person from Quora because they did not designate what level they are.
Oh,
so we can.
No,
be
that
dealing
was
with
that was Yahoo Answers. Quora
still,
doesn't have
though,
levels.
I don't know. I don't know how any of this works. I need a Epsom salt bath and some hematite.
Oh gosh, I can't. You triple Pisces. All right, let's talk about Bloodhound Stank real quick. Friend of the show. You almost just spit take.
Was not prepared for that. That's Super what I get for not looking ahead in the show notes.
What you guys may or may not know is that Joe and I are working off of the same Google Doc, but more often than not, we don't actually read each other's content until we are actually presenting.
Kind of trying not to, because typically that makes it more funny.
It is, because, you know, it is what it, yeah. What am I trying to say? I don't know. There are words. So Bloodhound Stank, friend of the show, Marie, who has her and her husband. I love them so much. His name's Nathan. They will often text me when they know that I'm prepping for an episode, and they'll just text me all their questions. So one of Marie's questions this week was, and what does a bloodhound even smell like? Because Ron said that Tammy won has the sense of smell and the body odor of a bloodhound. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I don't know. Can I actually find this? I texted Marie and I was like, I can't find it. And then I tried one more variation of a Google search and I realized, oh, bloodhounds are actually on the list of some of the most stanky dogs because they have so many folds. So like they have an oily coat, which means their skin and their coat is extremely greasy and doesn't hold dirt, which is great for living in the wild. But the internet said, and I quote, but not for Danny, who sits on your couch at home smelling like a stinky shoe. Poor Danny. Ah, oh, come on, Danny. So long ears in dogs also means that there's lots of opportunity to trap yeast, debris, dirt that can then get infected, and skin folds trap things too. So there was all kinds of articles about make sure you clean out the folds, make sure you clean out the ears. And I'm like, okay, this is why I will love everybody else's dog.
Yeah, hard pass.
Love you so much. You can stay over there. It's your turn.
Oh, it is my turn. I was stuck on Bloodhound Stank.
Bloodhound Stank.
Oh, man. C'est la bouffe.
C'est la bouffe, everybody.
All right. So this next segment is called Bugging Out. So in this episode, Ron reveals that he has a go bag hidden in an air duct in case of emergencies.
Who doesn't?
He grabs it and literally heads for the hills. So I thought it might be fun for the two of us to play a little game.
Great.
So, Joy, what are three items that absolutely have to be in your go bag?
Well, the problem is I'm an Enneagram 6, so I'm already super prepared, and I already have an entire go bag kit in my trunk of my car in case I get somewhere and I have to stay overnight. So I have all of my bare essentials already there, including a complete change of clothing.
Okay, so in that go bag that you already have assembled, what are three things that absolutely, like, are the top three most important things?
Probably, like, toothpaste, toothbrush, because I'm...
Okay, yep.
I don't sleep well if I forget to brush my teeth. It just nags at the back of my head and gives me a lot of anxiety.
That's the worst.
It's so dumb. Like, it's just my teeth. But my head's like, you can't go to sleep until you brush. It's too much pressure. Too much pressure.
I get that, actually.
And then probably, like, especially now in the winter months, it would be a hoodie.
Okay.
Or some sort of layer. What about you? And everybody, feel free to put your go bag items in the chat. We'd love to see what you got.
Yeah. Let's see here. I'm going to say a sort of all weather type of jacket, like external layer, sort of something if I encounter rain or whatever else. That's got to be in there.
Totally.
That's probably a Francis says dry duck. Say it, Joe. Yes, it would be a dry duck jacket. Of course, naturally. I'm going to say cash, like just some sort of cash on hand. I'm trying to imagine the scenarios for this go bag.
Yeah, it depends on how long you have to be gone.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, if I'm just in my car, I can survive a lot just being in my car.
Yeah. And then I'd probably say some sort of battery pack that I can recharge with solar.
Yeah, that makes sense.
To try to cover all the bases, stuff like that. So moving on, based on the things that we have disliked the most in the show through the course of making this podcast.
Oh, gosh.
Who or what is your nemesis that shows up to make you have that Tammy One level of panic?
Oh, dear God. I almost feel like if the scenario were to arise where Keith showed up and I had to participate, I think I would die. And I would figure out how to literally run for the hills. Do not make me interact with Keith. We all remember how much I yelled that day. I yelled a lot that day.
I love that so, so much. Can I give some suggestions to maybe escalate it a little bit?
Okay.
So Keith shows up with Tom and John Ralphio in tow. And let's see here. They are all wearing diva mics that they are pretending are comms.
No. Why would they do that? That's so... No.
That feels like an appropriate level of grab the go bag kind of panic there.
Get me out. Don't make me do anything with you.
So can I share with you what mine would be?
Oh, yeah, totally.
Mine would be a giant pigeon that is ambiguous as to whether or not it is real or animatronic. And it would be wearing a whole lot of Scales of Justice bling.
Oh, dear Lord. And it would have ruffles on its shirt.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, that would make me grab the bag and head out.
Thank you, Leah, for trying to calm me down. Cessna's sourdough. Gotta stay grounded, everybody. Gotta stay grounded.
Leah has been paying attention. Okay, so last question in this segment. Ron tells Leslie that he keeps a sizable amount of ground chuck in his desk.
Oh, no.
And she has to remove it or it will begin to smell. What "you have to take care of this for me" request would you need to bequeath to a family member or friend as you fled?
Take care of Gretchen, my sourdough starter.
Yes, perfect. Oh, that's perfection.
Yeah, because everything, like, I don't, Julia just said, don't let my plants die, but I'm not a plant human. My mom always said we ran a plant hospice that plants just came to our house to die. So I'm not a plant human. I admire people that are, but like most of my things are not alive. Like my Hogwarts castle, my mic, like most of my major things are
sure.
Items that do not have life. Except for Gretchen.
That's a perfect answer.
Thank you so much. What about you?
I've tried to think about this from a few different angles, and the only thing that comes to my mind right now, or the most pressing thing that comes to my mind right now, would be find a replacement so the podcast can continue in my absence.
Wow. All right.
And then I would entrust Joy and all of this whole panel to vet that replacement and make sure they have like the right blend of homeschool and music nerd and whatever else I bring to the table. It would have to run through all of you, including the adorable cattle dog that is in my wife's frame.
Obviously.
So yeah, so that was bugging out, and I'm so happy with how that went down because it was super fun.
I did have a nightmare once that we were about to do a live recording in an auditorium, and I was in the audience, and they handed me a wireless mic and said, okay, you can go ahead and start. And so I sat there and I was like looking around this entire auditorium, and I was like, where the frick is Joe? And I'm like, okay, I got to get this started. So I like did the whole hype man thing from my seat, which that's like the antithesis of my personality. So I was like, okay, here we go. So I like walked down to the stage and I'm like trying to get started, but I couldn't figure out how to get started because you always start the episode. And then I'm like, what do I do? And then you finally kind of showed up. And then as we were trying to get the room quiet to get ready to start recording, then all the tech people started setting up for the dance team that was next. And I'm like, excuse me, what? And it was just very conflicting. And I just couldn't.
Yeah, I think you texted me about that one.
Mariah, yeah, good question. What does the Dream Bible say about that one?
I don't know. There wasn't a whale, so I I'm rudderless here.
All right. Now it's time for our likes and dislikes, where we discuss what we liked about the episode and what we did not like so much. Joe, what did you like?
I liked Ron's disaster movie style getaway.
Yes.
As he's telling Leslie about Tammy One, what we've kind of been talking about. He takes the shoeshine peg and jams it into the drywall and grabs
his bag. I
want to
know if that actually works.
I feel like I have been working with a lot of drywall recently. I feel like it would not. That would not support the weight of a man Ron's size standing on it. But it is hilarious.
Yeah, I concur.
I like Tom saying, wow, how long has it been? And April immediately replying, 3 weeks. I like Chris saying if he could go back in time and cut everyone's eyeballs out, that he would.
What the
and
heck? Of course,
April finds that very sincere and appreciates it.
I thought her answer was sarcastic.
I think it's just, it struck that April chord of just kind of being
maniacal
violent
enough.
And yeah, yeah. I just love that she goes, thank you.
That's valid. Yeah.
And I was laughing as I typed out the show notes at how much I was anticipating that Joy is going to hate Tom's black on black business card situation.
Well, we're not to our dislikes yet, so just let the anticipation build, everybody.
And then I like purred saying, I don't know what you mean, but it had the cadence of a joke.
That was so funny. Yes.
Perfect. Pitch yes. Perfect purred in this perfect. Episode. Purred. Oh, okay.
I boofed it.
Oh, you did. Carpe'd the crap out of that boof.
Yes.
Oh, wow. I like Leslie melting down over the L-shaped eclair.
Same, Leslie.
I like April's great advice to Andy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So do it. So don't do it. So do it. So don't do it.
Right. I mean, that's what most people need all the time.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And then so. I love Cabin Ron.
So funny.
I love how wary he is when he answers the door. He's
yep.
looking all around to see if Tammy One is lurking in the bushes.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see here. I like Ron's rules for Leslie staying and the fact that she immediately violates them.
I like that the consequence is no coffee and then he just takes it and chucks it.
Like, yeah.
Or hucks it, perhaps.
Hucks it. Yes. Oh man, I just this is so good. I can't handle it. wow. I like April being the boss.
Uh-huh. I do
and
too.
I love that most of her being the boss in this episode involves her holding a cup of coffee. Just
it's
the whole
so
time.
True though. That is a boss move.
Yeah, it really is. It just, she brings an energy with the coffee cup as she holds it and swigs from it occasionally that I just found really funny.
It is pretty fantastic.
And then I like Ron's toe story. Yeah. I like that he describes it getting shot with a nail gun as a hilarious prank. And then later clarifies, I have the toes I have.
Well, he's just like, and then it fell off at some point. And yeah. he just moves on in his story like, oh, of course it just fell off at some point.
Yeah, yeah, of course. And then sort of the implication that he might actually have less than nine toes because he stops her and says, I have the toes I have.
The mystery of Ron.
I know. I love it. I love it so much. I like Ron and Leslie deciding to return and face their problems.
Yeah, that was good.
I like... Yeah, absolutely. I like the scene in which April helps Andy realize he's meant for more than shining shoes.
Yeah.
And that in the process of that, Kyle gets dunked on again, of course.
Yep. Yep.
I like Ron saying, if any of you need anything at all, too bad. Deal with your problems yourselves like adults.
Yes. Yes, that was such a good line.
Yes. And then I love Ben's gift and his desire to put Leslie first.
Yeah.
And also the very Ben way he says, Leslie, there was a dude in the ladies' yacht club.
Obviously. Were you not paying attention? I was.
And then I love it. Tammy One is here.
Yep.
And you guys know me. It's time for a little bit of villain archetyping.
Dun, dun, dun.
Because you know I love my villains and my story threads. For my money, the villain archetype that best describes Tammy One. And by the way, she was a little harder to nail down. Not as straightforward as Tammy Two or some of the other villains that we've typed. But I think the one that comes the closest is the lethal plotter.
Oh, man.
So, taken from huntersridings.com, This villain type has a cunning plan. In fact, they constantly have a plan, and it's a plan to get what they want, which involves ruining the life of their nemesis, the hero. This villain won't take the easy way out, like just waiting to find the hero alone and shooting them. There will be a series of challenges to test wits with the hero, or cunning plans to progress a crime.
Yeah.
Backup and false plans exist. The lethal plotter is very patient and can wait for the exact time to put her plans into action.
Yeah.
As the hero's arch enemy or nemesis, the lethal plotter is not easy to take down. In fact, a nemesis has the same traits and characteristics as the hero she's plotting against.
Oh, that's trippy.
As in, Moriarty matched wits and cunning with Sherlock.
That makes a lot of sense, yeah.
Yeah, which is what kind of led me to this one as close to Tammy 1, because in some ways, she sort of seems like Ron's equal.
So,
I thought that was interesting. So, yay for Tammy 1 being here. I'm excited for the next episode because I know what happens in it. Happy Tammy 1 is here. And then my last like is Ron saying, "That's enough small talk," after Tammy walks in and they say each other's names.
Yes.
So that is it for me, Joy. What did you like about this episode?
I'm going to go by character. I love the yay dialogue between Anne and Leslie.
Yes.
It's like, yeah, there is some enthusiasm, but there is also like this dread that comes with it. And so it's like, I'm acting enthusiastic. Yay. Yeah. And then I love later in the episode Anne's so nonchalant response where Leslie's like, "Do you need to get that?" And Anne's like, "No, it's just a bunch of penises," and then moves on like normal. Like, I'm just thinking through what would it take as an actress to do that with a straight face?
Yeah.
I don't know.
To nail that nonchalant delivery.
It's phenomenal. Ron. Here's all the things I love about Ron. I'm so fascinated that Leslie is his safe person. Like, he comes and grabs her when the threat of Tammy 1 approaches. That says a lot to me. That's easy to overlook.
Yeah. I think it sort of speaks to that opposites attract in platonic relationships and friendships as well as in relationships.
Yeah.
You know, I think we can sort of be drawn to people who have, sort of opposite character traits than we do, because we can sort of find anchoring in them.
Yeah.
And maybe it's just also that he knows that Leslie is dependable.
Yeah.
I don't know, but that is fascinating.
She
is. Very good point.
You're absolutely on point there. I like his clever use of the shoeshine stand footrest as a step. And I just got through that without stumbling over a shoeshine stand. Very proud of me. Thank you so much.
That is a tough one. That's a hard one.
I will bask in the affirmation. I like that Ron has a Tammy 1 survival kit, and I love his dramatic exit where he just totally like rails into Jerry. Poor guy.
Yes.
Poor guy. It's fascinating to me that Ron acquired 228 personal days, even though he hates government. It seems like he never misses a day.
Yeah, that is fascinating.
Like, okay, I see you, Ron. I see you. His stellar beard and hair growing abilities. Mm-hmm. I can't have anything but respect for that.
No.
I love Ron's follow through on his rules where he just, like, as we said, hucks her coffee. She lost her privileges.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
Story time with Ron about his pinky toe. I love it. But I definitely was like, there's a line there. I am not going to do research into this. I cannot.
Okay.
For
I'm
the goodness
relieved.
Of my own soul.
We already talked about bloodhound stank. I'm not sure how much more rowdiness we can handle in the research
section. How much
section
infection
here.
Will it take for your toe to simply fall off? No, I'm not going to Google that.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome. I love Ron's. If any of you need anything at all, too bad. Comment. Ugh.
Yes.
It's freaking perfect.
It's great.
I love Ben's look at the camera when Sewage Joe is trying to get a high five for the mumps on his lumps comment. Like, I happened to pause it right there, and oh my gosh, Ben was just looking straight at the camera like, are you effing kidding me?
Yeah. And Ben's fourth wall breaks are the best.
Yes. I love that so much.
And speaking of fourth wall breaks, I have to do a fourth wall break real quick because Susan is here. And I'm seeing the craft room for the first time in what feels like forever. And I feel safe and I feel grounded.
Susan!
Thank you, Susan.
I've been waiting all year for this, Susan.
Thank you, Susan, for defending our vibe, our collective vibe, by bringing your craft room to the Zoom call.
Yeah, yeah. I was really hoping I would see you today, Susan. Welcome.
Yes.
I love the intentionality behind Ben getting Leslie a Nope 2012 pin. Because that means he had to get the logo designed. That means he had to figure out how to get it in a pin. Like, there's several steps of logistics there that actually make me really happy. Like, he sees her and he cares.
Yes.
And he acknowledges her humanity. And, I love it. It's so good. I love that Ben figured it out because there was a dude in the ladies' yacht club. And that she's been making campaign speeches in her sleep. But they got really specific and moving. Like, who writes this stuff? That's hilarious.
That's a great line.
Leslie, I love her affirmation of Anne. Anne, you beautiful, naive, sophisticated newborn baby. And then Anne's pure reaction of like, what? Like, yes, Anne, I get you. But like Leslie's opportunistic affirmations are just hilarious to me. I love them.
Yes.
I love Leslie's excuse for not breaking up with Ben was, he gave me an eclair, Anne.
Yes, as if that's a thing that people say.
I like Leslie's panic callback to the Whiz Palace again, because she's got to go to another place, to the bathroom, to the Whiz Palace, as we like to call it here. And I'm going to be back, and I'm not going to split, and I'm here for you because we need to talk about stuff. And then she's like, bye. It's so funny. Jerry, I liked that the other emails in his inbox, one of them was from w.fontaine@pawnee, which said, like, all I could see from it was that it was a rejected fishing ... So I'm assuming he sent somebody a calendar invite to go fishing and they rejected it. So, wah, wah. Sorry, Jerry.
Oh, that's sad.
And he had two random emails from Leslie, @pawnee.com. So that was fun. Mm-hmm. Andy. Oh, I love so many things about Andy in this episode. I love that he thought that erasing his credit card meant the debt would probably go too. Oh, Andy, you're so cute. I love Andy and April in the scene where Andy gets great advice from April.
Mm-hmm.
That I just love so much. I like that Andy speaks truth, especially to Tom, where he's like, I want to follow my dream, but I just don't think my dream is working for a company that puts logos on stuff. Yes. Yes, Andy. Yes. I like that Andy puts the Pepto on Kyle's shoe, even though the Pepto is chunky.
Yeah.
I feel like having chunky Pepto is a sign.
Yeah. That whole thing just makes me uncomfortable. The phrase chunky Pepto makes me uncomfortable.
Yeah. So if I want to poke you, I'll just start talking about chunky Pepto.
Yeah, that's a great visual there.
I don't know how much I can tolerate that, but I also love that Andy's going to work for Leslie. That's a good shift. April, yes. I love how much she genuinely supports Andy in this episode. I love her power move over Jerry. I love how she calls Tom out of, shouldn't you be working at your new company, Tom? Yes. Good job, April. Proud of you. Purred. I like the, I don't know what you mean, but it had the cadence of a joke.
Oh, like, yes.
Well said, Purred. Well, there you have it. Where it is the thing Leslie Nope just said about this situation. Purred.
He's always technically correct. Like,
it's
that,
true.
You can't argue with what he says. It's correct.
It's true. I just love, so much love. Tom, I actually really like his scarf when he walks in with the New Day merch. Not gonna lie.
Okay. I was not expecting that.
Love that scarf. So, but that's all I like about Tom. So my neutral zone, Leslie's preparedness. It's interesting to me that she has duplicate phones and padfolios. even though it doesn't feel like they've had the conversation yet of your campaign needs to be separate from your work. So that felt weird to me, but I also love that they're identical. But it's also stressful to me that they are identical, because what if you grab the wrong one and you go to a meeting and there's no going back? Wah, wah, going down. Yeah. I love that she has position papers on the Egyptian debt relief. Of course she does. But also, like, what the heck, Leslie? What are you doing? Egyptian debt relief?
Yeah.
Let's talk about scope here for a minute.
Very far outside the locus of Pawnee City Council.
Right. And then I also both love and hate that when she was talking, she was using the pointing motion where you
Is that this thing?
Yeah.
This thing here?
You put your thumb in the crease, like the middle crease of your index finger, and you point like that. It's like, I both love that and am kind of disturbed that when she was trying to talk official, she talked with the official knuckle thumb motion.
Yeah. I don't know. It doesn't feel natural.
I don't know. Whatever. I love and hate the ladies' yacht club.
Josh, you've been warned.
We were talking about things that make us uncomfortable, and Josh came in with poop strings make me uncomfortable.
Oh, and then that's Julia a goes, throwback.
Official knuckle thumb motion. Yes, indeed. That is how we feel about poop strings, everybody. We haven't talked about the Bristol stool chart in a long time.
It came back. It came back.
And
mark
snake balls.
This occasion.
Oh, snake
it's
balls. Just
right
got to mention.
Oh, man.
This is interesting because it feels like everybody's supporting me and they're like going against you.
Yeah, maybe it's just because I react really well. Like, people get good reactions out of me when they make me uncomfortable. So it's fun.
Isn't that why you make me react?
I'm here to entertain. So yeah, I'm not super mad at it.
Fine.
But yeah, it's definitely made me aware of the fact that we've given many, many people who are listeners of this show ways to harm us emotionally. So don't know how I feel about that.
Francis just typed in, "Oh, but Joy doesn't have good reactions." Come on, son.
Come on, son.
Yeah. And then Mariah said, starts chant, make Joe uncomfortable.
Ah,
make
yes.
Joe uncomfortable.
Because we know chants work for everything. Ham and mayonnaise.
Except for turnip.
Turnip.
Except for turnip.
Turnip. I love this so much.
Oh, no. Chelsea, why would you say that? Chelsea
Except
said.
Except for turnip.
Oh, gosh. Oh, no. I. That is not nice.
Okay. Oh, that was
gonna
great.
I'm going to bring my song back. It's going to be fine. Okay. Snake balls. The balls of snakes. There are balls and there are snakes. Mm. And they wrinkle around themselves. Anyway.
Say la bouffe. I like how Francis said our Google Doc is crying right now.
Leah's trying to calm me down. Opaline crusted jewelry boxes. Sourdough starter.
I also like that in her attempt to do that, Leah went from sourdough to sourdough starter, which is exactly what I did the first time I did that, because that's just what comes, like, that's how things unfold when I think, okay, let's make Joy happy. Sourdough starter. It just is a logical next step. And
great.
Then the third step is sourdough starters that have names.
Right. Gretchen. Well, technically mine is Gretchen the second, because Gretchen the first died a bloody death about a year ago.
Yes.
That's why I have a thumbs
died
star.
A bloody death in the sink.
Yeah. Well, okay. So I love the ladies yacht club cover up, but I also hate it. I love the, when she opens the door and she's like, anchors away, ladies, and then just closes the door. But I don't like that she's still covering it up and lying. So that's why it's in the neutral zone.
Okay.
Neutral zone, penis emails. Like, the comments around it are hilarious from a comedic show perspective, but the whole thing is actually super disturbing.
Yeah.
So it's in the neutral zone. Orienting Andy is also in the neutral zone because Leslie's going to have a 300 page orientation manual for him tomorrow, as well as a dozen homemade cookies in the shape of your face. So I love the cookies in the shape of your face. But like, this whole thing is just really great and overwhelming. Like, onboarding is so important, but not overwhelming onboarding. So can we just find a mid ground? I don't think Andy.
Can I pitch you something?
Yes, Joe.
Leslie knows Andy, and the 300 page orientation manual is a flip book.
I love that. Okay, you win. You win. Acknowledged. Thank you so much for your contribution. A pop-up flip. Ooh, it's a pop-up. What movie is that from? It's a pop-up. I don't know. Anyway, there are weird phrases that just happen in my head that I have no clue where they come from, but it's a pop-up is one of them. Oh, it's from Master of Disguise. Anyway.
Oh, there you go. There you go.
I love Tammy One's exit to April, but I also hate it. If somebody said that to me, I would slap them. Actually, I wouldn't. Uh-huh. I would just cower there in fear and shame. But I would slap them in my head where she's like, sit up straight. You're not doing your breasts any favors. And then immediately Andy comes in and is like, your breasts look amazing. Like, you're funny. You're funny. Anyway, so those are my neutral zones. What did you not like?
All right, let's get spicy. First up,
spicy.
I personally love Tom and all things Entertainment 720. The Entertainment 720 story arc is one of my favorites in all of the series. I just think it's so fun and whimsical. And, you know, you look at other sitcoms, they weren't doing stuff like that, like of that scale and just ridiculousness. So I just kind of love it for being that.
That's valid.
But I'm going to play Joy's advocate for a second here.
I don't know how I feel about this.
I think you're going to be proud of me.
Okay.
So Tom states that E720, which I have to note sounds like a toll road
it
when
does,
abbreviated
yeah.
like that. So Tom states that E720 is a multinational company.
Yeah.
But Wikipedia and every other website I checked clearly states that in order to be considered a multinational company, that company must own or control production of goods or services in at least one country other than its home country.
Interesting.
Black's Law Dictionary suggests that a company or group should be considered a multinational corporation if it derives 25% or more of its revenue from out-of-home country operations. And as far as I'm aware, Entertainment 720 isn't even multi-state.
Yeah, that's way to go on the research there.
I know. I was hoping you were going to be proud of me for that.
Joe.
I was like, Joy would have a beef with that. They say they're multinational, but I'm not seeing the receipts here.
I'm just touched.
We've both influenced each other in positive ways through co-hosting this podcast.
Right. And what you haven't seen is that in the chat, we are coming up with a new a new term of measure, and we're calling it the boof factor. It's like, do you have the X factor? So, Joe, I think you have the boof factor.
Oh, boy.
Congratulations. You are the first recipient of the boof factor.
Wow. And I love that you're just throwing down in the chat saying, I'll be your Huck master.
I don't even know what that means, but it felt right. Okay.
I am here for it. I am here for it. And Chelsea says, new Mouse Rat song, don't huck the boof factor.
Oh, one boof is equivalent to three little Sebastians?
Oh, man. Well, we already have three. When we both rated a three, it's a breakfast burrito.
Okay, so maybe if we both rated a four, it should be a boof.
I'm here for it. It is. It's been. We have. The chat has spoken.
Okay, I have to write that down somewhere or I'll forget. This is where my old lady kicks in. I don't
so
remember.
So is it technically a boof or a boof factor?
You're just a boof.
Boof.
Or we can call it a Shia.
Okay. So Olivia said mega boof. And we already have, when we both rate an episode of five, it's a you
greatest
know, it's
episode
a,
of all time.
What do we call it? We put it in the Parks and Rewatch Hall of Fame. So right. We can't call us both rating an episode of 5 a mega boof, but I am proposing to you that if we ever rate 3 back-to-back episodes as a 5, we call that a hat trick, because I like the crossover there. And if we ever rate 4 episodes as 5s back-to-back, both of us, that feels like legendary enough territory that we could call that a mega boof.
I feel like if we have 3 in a row, we should call it a rap song.
Because, a rap song?
Yeah, because Ron was listening to turkey noises at his desk. He's like, oh, is this not rap?
Is this not rap? And if you get, I'm good with either of those.
Isn't it when you get 3 strikes in a row in bowling, it's called a turkey?
Someone who bowls would have to confirm that for me.
I see some heads nodding.
Okay, so... this is a great conversation. So 3 is a rap song or a turkey? A turkey rap. A turkey rap.
Okay, it's a turkey rap. Great.
So 3 back to back is a turkey rap. 4 back to back is a mega boof. And then where is it? Mariah said that 5, a 10 episode. Okay, so a 10 episode 5-point streak would be a sonic boof.
How did we get, I don't know how we got on boof, but sonic boof. Writing that down. You okay there, buddy? You dying?
Sonic boof. It's, I love that boof so much. Wow. Wow, sonic boof. Oh,
thank you,
wow.
Julia, for confirming that 3 strikes and bowling is a turkey. And I also love Wii Bowling.
Wow, wow. Okay, this has been incredible. But I'm going to continue on with my dislikes. My next dislike.
The Hucks of Dunshire.
Gosh dang it, Olivia.
This is why we have the chat open, everybody.
Yes. Just people wilding out in there. Olivia said the Hucks of Dunshire.
Obviously.
Wow. Wow. Incredible. Okay. So my next dislike is that I feel like what happens to Anne in this episode is 100% Chris's fault.
Oh, that's an interesting way to look at it. Yeah, I agree with you on that one.
Because if he hadn't bragged on her diagnosing Sewage Joe, then what happened to her wouldn't have happened.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I feel like it's 100% his fault. I'm going to touch on that a little bit more later.
Yeah.
And my next dislike is just the whole junk mail storyline. That's what I'm calling it. It just got on my nerves more than I remembered. It's a little bit hard to suspend my disbelief through it because there's just so much sexual harassment and everyone ought to be fired.
Yeah, it's so uncomfortable. Uncomfortable.
And then my last dislike is related to that. It's the old dude in the meeting with Chris and Anne. I just can't. Quote, old pervy man has not ever really been what I would call my niche of comedy.
Amen. And amen. Yeah, we can agree on this one.
Not my jam. And I think maybe also viewing this scene through the lens of this current day and age, you know, 2021.
Yeah.
That scene was just really cringy to me.
I just avoided talking about it. That's how cringy it was to me.
Yeah. That's my dislikes. What did you dislike, Joy?
I don't like that Ron keeps ground chuck in his desk because the USDA says that in order to keep bacterial levels low, you have to store ground beef at 40 degrees Fahrenheit or below and use within 2 days or freeze it. And when you cook it, you have to cook it to a minimum of 160 degrees or else bacteria can come. Like, this is basic food safety, everybody.
Yeah.
Keep your ground chuck refrigerated. Like, the logistics of this are anxiety causing. Like, I wouldn't doubt that Ron could have a fridge in his desk, but I'm suspicious that he doesn't.
Yeah,
maybe
exactly.
He can eat bacteria riddled chuck because of his steely gut. I don't know.
Right. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't like that Tom is trying to act the part so hard in this episode, especially when he walks in and he's like, Donna, how are the kids? Like, really? 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 It's only been 3 weeks, dude. And then he got their logo printed on fireplace bellows. That is a new low, everybody.
That's a wild move.
That's just no, I can't. I don't like that Leslie defers the what should I do plan to Anne. That's not fair. And I guess I'm just fed up with Leslie not taking responsibility herself for the issues and complications around her. Like, that's not Anne's. Don't put that on Anne. Ugh. And I'm also so confused. Why did Leslie have to have the interview with Purd? Like, I looked into the Muncie, Indiana local government, and the mayor's office has a communications and media director. So this shouldn't go to the parks department.
Right.
I don't know. That just feels so weird to me. I love that section with Purd, but I don't know why it was Leslie. That is all I have to say there. And I don't like that Leslie barged into Ben's office and forcibly removed the phone from his hands. That is rude. Do not. You can walk in and be like, I need to talk to you.
Right.
And they can end the call, but whatever. Ben, I feel like if you have a friend that you work with and they're in a meeting, you don't almost walk into the meeting they're in or the meeting they're leaving. Like, his energy moving toward that conference room was just kind of out of place to me.
Yeah, it kind of almost seems like the same thing as when you talked about all of Anne's boyfriends walking her into the building. It's just like, these aren't normal human things that typically happen.
Totally, totally. Let's talk about Chris real quick. Why, Chris? Why would you do your hair like that? It is awful.
Yeah.
Do not. Cannot. Will not. Stop.
Yeah, it's not great in this episode. It is. I mean, he's got a little like Cabbage Patch energy going on.
No, I can't. His credibility drops. And maybe that's why he sucks so bad in this episode. So why is Chris's response that he would go back in time and remove all the women's eyeballs? So then you would just have a city hall full of women who don't have eyeballs.
All of a sudden, this has become like a horror movie.
Well, that's what he said. He said, if I could go back and remove all your eyeballs, I would. So then you would just suddenly there would be an uptick in the need for glass eyeballs and for accessibility. I'm pretty sure the fourth floor is not accessible. Can we talk about that real quick?
Well, like, I was going to say that this would be like the fourth floor taking over, like the energy of the fourth floor is taking over. Ooh, I got a spicy take. I got a theory. Something about the fourth floor is possessed.
Oh, gosh.
That's why it's such an evil place. And sort of like the hotel affects Jack Torrance in The Shining, the fourth floor of the hotel is causing Chris to have these violent thoughts that are not necessarily typical to him.
And his haircut.
Exactly.
Or lack thereof.
Exactly.
Okay. I can half sign on. Half.
I'll take it.
The last thing I dislike is Chris's lack of understanding of how he is affecting Anne with his comments. Like, just the weirdness of the testicle and ear analogy. Really?
Yeah.
Telling everyone that Anne diagnosed mumps, and then the weird meeting where he's like, oh my God, your inbox is literally filled with penises. Like, you did this, dude.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Ugh. I can't. That's the end of all the things I don't like. And now we're going to move on so I can be less angry to the coronation of the beautiful rule-breaking moth, the segment in which we choose one specific thing that was the breakout star of this episode. Joe, please take it away while I breathe.
My beautiful rule-breaking moth for this episode is Ron's cabin beard.
Whoa.
And the fact that he grew it in about 3 weeks. I don't care whether it's actually fake or not. It is majestic.
Okay. I'll give you that one.
That's my beautiful rule breaking moth. Who or what is your beautiful rule breaking moth?
Mine is the relationships I see in this episode. Like Ron and Leslie supporting each other. Anne and Leslie eventually supporting each other. Ben and Leslie choosing to see each other well. April and Andy actually being adults and supporting each other really well. Mm-hmm. Like at the end of the day, I love how those relationship dynamics played out. That's what I got. Now it's awesome. Time. Shaming
now
Uncle Jerry.
Now it's time. Shaming.
Shame. Shame. Shaming. The part of the show where we shame one particular thing for bringing the episode down or being unnecessarily annoying. Joe.
Okay, so this one actually is a fairly significant Jerry for me. I kind of forgot about it until I got back to watching this episode again.
Okay.
We've touched on this before at different times, but I have a beef with the political storyline that is introduced in the last episode and carries through to this one. It's a minor beef. I'm not super up in arms about it, but it's one of those things. It's small beef. Small
beef. One beef. One beef boof.
It's it is one of those things that makes it super hard to suspend my disbelief, and it kind of jerks me out of my enjoyment of the show because it's so unrealistic that I just, there's this disconnect that happens in my brain. And it's this, it's the fact that we know that Pawnee is a small-ish town.
Yeah.
I've lived in small towns my entire life, ranging from unincorporated less than 40 people to around 1,000 to small-ish at around 20,000 people.
Yeah.
And right, wrong, or indifferent, I typically compare Pawnee in my head to that last town, which is the one I live in now, 20,000-ish. You know, from what we see of Pawnee, the events that we see happen there, this is sort of the atmosphere, it feels a lot like the town in which I live in Western Nebraska. You know, about the same size and stuff like that. Seems like same population, same government size, those kinds of things. So right, wrong, or indifferent, I kind of have this parallel.
Sure.
That's like a constant reality check for the show that goes on in my head. And whenever it gets too far disconnected, I just have a problem suspending my disbelief for the show.
Yeah.
And the thing that really bugs me is that political campaigns for city council and the city council itself is nowhere near as grand and official at the level of small town that we're led to believe that Pawnee is.
Yeah, I think I've held that feeling for a long time, but I've never actually put words to it.
Yeah, when they start to get into this storyline, I mean, the difference is so drastic that, like I said, hitting this point in the show always kind of pulls me out of the experience a little bit. I don't let it bug me too much because I really do love the season. I love the campaign story arc a lot, but it really is so, so different.
Yeah.
Just the size and scale of the campaign. I mean, it's just, it's nothing in a town that the size of where I am, around 20,000 people, the races and campaigns for city council do not approach anything remotely close to the scale of the city council race in this season. So I'm guessing that they made certain aspects of her campaign resemble a high level campaign more so that they could have fun with different scenarios in politics, like large televised debates, campaign buses, things like that. And like I said, I enjoy all that stuff a lot. So I really don't have too big of a beef here, but I hit this point in the show every time I watch through it, and it just always jerks me out of the experience a little bit because I'm like, that's just so not even close.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I'm there with you.
Yeah, that is my Jerry. What is your Jerry?
Two words. Penis pics. That is all. Yep. Mm-hmm.
I'm good with that being all. Yeah, no.
Yep.
Nope.
Okay, patrons, now is the time to unmute because it is time. No, wait. I'm totally wrong. JK, don't unmute.
Nope.
I'm wrong. We have one more thing before that. Prepare yourself. The next segment is where we unmute and we all say
things together. It's coming up. But now it is time for the awarding of the Lil Sebastians.
Show enough.
The ceremony in which we rate each episode against the entire catalog of Parks and Recreation episodes by awarding it between 1 and 5 Lil Sebastians. 1 obviously being the lowest and 5 representing perfection, the most magical episodes of all time. So, Joy, how many Lil Sebastians would you rate? I'm Leslie Nope.
This is a solid 3. Everybody, you can put your ratings in the chat as well. I'm curious of what you guys would rate it. This wasn't my favorite, but it wasn't horrible, I forgot mm-hmm. what happened in this episode prior to doing research for it. So, I mean, it was fun to watch it again, and I felt like there was good character development in this one, but mm-hmm. I think your Jerry hit it right on the head. Wait, was that your Jerry? No, it was my Jerry. The penis pics, like that whole story. Ugh, yeah. It's just mm-hmm. uncomfortable. Yep.
Yeah.
Not a fan.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about you?
I also gave this episode a 3. I wanted to like this episode more than I did.
Yeah.
I went into it wanting to like this episode more than I did. I actually feel a little let down. I really wanted to like this
yeah.
more than I did. But the junk mail storyline is so cringy to me.
Yep.
It's so obviously Chris's fault. And then it feels like he didn't do much of anything to help Anne.
He didn't.
When she's in that situation, he kind of just goes, I don't know. And yeah, that whole storyline just brought this episode down for me. So it is a 3.
Yeah, Josh rated it 3 poop strings. So that's how that, meh that one was.
That feel, oh wait, this right here.
Yep, poop strings, everybody. Yep. Poop strings with the official knuckle thumb
Perfect.
Position of diplomatic pointing.
Yeah, which does mean that this episode is officially Jerry's breakfast burrito.
Yay. It's another and, burrito.
If you haven't noticed, I'm getting the death glare from my wife because breakfast burritos are her favorite food of all time. And the first time I told her, hey, when Joy and I rate an episode each of the 3, it's going to be Jerry's breakfast burrito. She was furious at me.
Well, earlier in the chat, we had talked about, while you were saying what would happen if somebody had to fill in for you, mm-hmm. we voted that Crystal and I should then run the show together. So we've already figured that out, and it's going to be great. So Crystal, whenever that happens, hopefully it shall not happen because that would be absolutely devastating for both of us. You can change the breakfast burrito then. I give you permission. She will
get creative control over all things breakfast and burrito related.
Yes. Yes. So as Marie said, it's specifically Jerry's pond drenched yep. breakfast burrito.
Ooh, I like the pond drenched in there.
Da 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 da. Is the time where everybody unmutes and we go into our favorite train wreck. I'm watching. Everybody unmuting?
All right. Joy, do you want to count us off?
2, 1.
Where in the world?
That's going to edit together real nice. Yeah, where is he? That's right.
Beautiful. Perfect, everybody.
Proud of you.
Delightful.
The good news is everybody is recording as their own individual audio track. So, Joey, you can have some fun sweetening that one.
Mm. All right. So, this segment is for episodes where the character of John Ralphio is not featured. We speculate where he might be and what he might be doing. So, Joy, what do you think that John Ralphio is up to during the events of I'm Leslie Knope?
I pulled a U and I was just trying really hard to follow the voice inside. And
I'm so proud of you.
The voice inside told me that he's deep in the throes of an email conversation with someone who said that he inherited $2 million, but he has to send $2,000 first to secure it. And then they'll tell him where the money is. But John Ralphio decided to start becoming friends with this scammer over email and is actually trying to get the scammer to let Entertainment 720 do an ad campaign for them.
Oh, so John Ralphio is getting Nigerian princed.
Yeah. Everybody watch out. Scams are out there.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we've karate chopped scammers before.
Great.
They are the worst.
Great.
So the voice told me this week that he is obviously at Entertainment 720.
Right.
Where else would he be right now? But I think unbeknownst to Tom, he's setting up a secret hangout spot in one of those second floor alcoves for his raccoon gang.
Oh, man.
And it is going to be stocked with sprinkler water sun tea.
Good.
Yeah. I mean, of course he wouldn't just forget about his loyal raccoon gang.
Obviously.
After he's had a taste of the good life now. He's bringing them along. A rising tide lifts all boats and plastic flamingos, as it were.
Hallelujah.
Well, that means that it is time for Johnny Karate's Karate Moves to Success.
We're here
an
already.
Inspirational segment in which we apply the karate moves to success in our own lives. Mm. So, Joy, what would you like to karate chop this week?
Glasses and mask fog complication with trying to drink at the same time and all of that.
Mm-hmm. I like how you said that, and everyone in the chat who has glasses, everyone in the Zoom who has glasses is like, oh, preach! Yes!
So I'm starting to work some freelance gigs at a local production studio. So I was in the studio this week. It was really sweet. But, you know, I'm really a big fan of my water bottle, as you can tell by all of my stickers. And I had to wear a mask because, you know, COVID, staying safe and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I'm also, I got LASIK a couple of years back, so I'm like, I really want to protect my eyes. So blue light glasses are a thing, but wearing blue light glasses with a mask and then trying to take a drink means I have to put the glasses up and then take the mask off and then do the thing and then put it back and then reset and ta-da, now I can move forward. But by the time that happens, I've wasted a whole 10 seconds of my life. And
that's a whole thing.
It's over. I can never get those 10 seconds back. And then I have to put my glasses like further down my nose. So then I feel like I'm like looking over my glasses at people like, how dare you talk to me? Like, no.
Like you're admonishing a student at Hogwarts for being in the halls after hours.
Right. But y'all did nothing wrong. It's just fog. Anyway, I'll boof that one. What about you?
Yeah. I would like to karate chop the wind. It has been blowing like crazy here in Western Nebraska. Oof. The other day it gusted 105 miles per hour.
Holy moly.
Not far from where we live.
That sucks.
It has been quite insane. So ready for the wind to be done and over with.
Yes. Yes.
For sure. So on a nicer note, who do you want to be nice to this week?
Fan of the show Ainsley. She sent us an amazing email that warmed my heart so greatly this week.
You guys.
I sat here and I read it and I was on the verge of tears. I was like, oh, stop it.
Me too.
I sit here and say the things that I think are funny and yet it connects with y'all, which is kind of crazy to me.
Yeah.
I'm just so grateful for all of our friends of the show who email us and who interact with us on social media just to get to know us and to let us get to know you. One of my favorite things is logging on 15 minutes early to these live calls so I can sit here and talk with y'all and get to know who you actually are, because I personally think it's rather unfair that you get to know all about Joe and I, but I know next to nothing about you. Not a fan. So it just means a lot to us when you guys interact with us and you send us an email and you tell us about your experience with the podcast. And I'm also just so grateful for all of our patrons and everybody who signed in and showed up to help with today's episode. It really makes my week.
We really do read every single piece of content that gets written to or about us. And there's always that, you know, I mean, we really have had good feedback and wonderful interactions with people, but you know, there's always this sort of that little bit of anxiety that I don't think you can ever really detach from when you make something that's a part of yourself and you put it out on the internet.
Yeah.
You know, where you're like, I really hope that people like this. Getting that email from Ainsley, that was truly powerful, because, you know, it was my hope, and I didn't voice that hope to anyone when Joy and I started doing this podcast, that through making just a silly, lighthearted, fun podcast, it could actually become a little bit of an act of rebellion against all the heaviness and just the doom scrolling, you know, the constant feed of depression and anxiety. And like, if we could fight back a little bit against that, like if we could edge out some people's mental real estate from that depressing stuff into some more positivity and uplifting stuff, like that would just be a dream come true for me. And hearing that from different people and hearing that from Ainsley was just like, wow, like, yeah, there's more going on here than just lighthearted fun boofing and bloodhound stank. Like, you know, we're actually pushing back against all the negativity that's out there a little bit. And that means the world to me.
Anchors away, ladies.
It's your move, world.
Who are you going to be nice to, Joe?
So last time I karate chopped social media and how we all should get off or at least do less of it. And we talked a little bit about last time. There's a little bit of a dilemma where, you know, not many of us feel like we can just totally detach from all forms of social media.
Yeah.
Myself included, for various reasons, like this show. So if you're like most of us and can't altogether do away with social media, I'm going to start being your survival guide.
Whoa.
A little bit. Your Joe Grills, if you will.
That's a big responsibility, Joe Grills.
Running wild through this social media wilderness without losing your mind.
Huh.
So I think the first thing that you should do if you want to tip the scales back towards positivity, my official Be Nice recommendation for this week, is you should be following Kevin Bacon on whatever social media platforms you use. Just trust me. I know. I wouldn't have thought that the unlikely creator at the bleeding edge of fun, positive, heartwarming content in 2021 would be Kevin Bacon.
Mm.
But just trust me, everybody. He has taught me the best way to prepare and eat a mango. He plays mandolin and sings in fields with goats. He may just save us all. So if you are not following Kevin Bacon on social media, you should be. Bonus recommendation, I know a lot of us probably aren't on TikTok, but TikTok is the way to go. Kevin Bacon is a TikToker, people, and it's fantastic.
You must not be calling out to my type of demographic, because the two examples that you just gave do not draw me in at all.
Trust me, it's his content is widely varied.
Uh-huh.
And it is fantastic. Just trust me, Kevin Bacon is the way to go.
As is true to my normal character, I'm very skeptical of trends, and I will look into it on my timing.
I respect that. I will say this. Do I not have a good track record of bringing you good TikToks?
The only one I've watched is the Vibe Bernice.
So I'm one for one. I have 100% positive recommendation rating.
That was like at my college, we didn't have a football team, so we always said we're undefeated.
Yeah, or it's like a homeschool graduation where you're like, I graduated at this top of my class.
And I was also the worst in my class, and I was also the class clown.
And I was also the valedictorian and the salutatorian.
I was the teacher's pet, and I was the worst.
Oh,
so.
Yep, exactly. So, Joy, it is that time. You want to take us to that outro?
Here's a little song I wrote. I wanna sing it note for note. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy now. Ooh, don't worry. Ooh, be happy.
Thank you everyone so much for hanging out with us. Thanks to all of you who have been on our Zoom call. This has been so much fun. I hope that all of you listening have enjoyed getting a preview of what one of our uncut, unedited episodes featuring guests on our Zoom call is like. This is what patrons of our show get every week. If you are on Patreon and you are a Pawnee goddess or a Swanson.
Ooh, it's unedited.
Ooh, and uncut.
Uncut. Ooh, it's the whole thing that we did.
And so at this point, as usual, if you would like more Parks and Rewatch in your life, you can follow us on Instagram at Rewatch Parks. You can also jump in our Facebook group. We highly recommend that.
Find us on the social medias.
In part because our Facebook group.
We don't really like social media.
Exactly.
It's complicated. It's very complicated. But
it's a nice little secluded pocket of social media that just contains a lot of great people like the ones that are on the Zoom call and fantastic meme content. I mean, really, truly fantastic memes and GIFs at all times. So that's Instagram, Parks and Rewatch, Facebook, the official Parks and Rewatch fan club. And like we mentioned, if you would like this uncut, unedited content and the video versions every single week, you can get that by becoming a Pawnee goddess or a Swanson over at our Patreon, patreon.com/parksandrewatch. And if you are an email person, you can send us an email over at rewatchparks@gmail.com.
We love your emails.
Yes, and as we talked about, one of the emails that we got this past week was just so huge for Joy and I. It literally meant the world to us. So reach out to us, no matter how you're reaching out to us, no matter what you're reaching out to us about, we would just love to hear from you and be a part of that conversation. And if you enjoyed this bonkers episode, and if you're liking the content that we make, it would mean the world to us if you would head over to Apple Podcasts and leave us a rating and review over there. All right. As always, everyone, it has been a blast. I have had so much fun. Thank you, as always, to my co-host, Joy, and to all of you who have joined us. I've been your host, Joe.
Say la boo.
It has returned. This is why she's the best.
Sailaboo.
I lost it, but it's fine.
Sailaboo.
This happens in real time, every single week.
I'm gonna huck it over there. Then I'm gonna make a band. Cause the boo bomb never can be hugged.
And with that, everybody,
what do we say?
Unmute your microphones. Join us as
three,
we say
2, 1, bye.
I pray love.
It's boofing, y'all.